Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
That's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin.
I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him.
This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn.
I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, October the 28th of 2015. And the time is 12 noon, Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we are continuing with part three of the introduction to the next series. So the next series, we are really talking about the metaphysics of nuclear physics. The metaphysics of nuclei. Now, again, the next series starts October the 31st, which is a Saturday or a Sabbath day. So please go to the website at masterteacher33.com. Click on the link that says donation. The cost of the series is $100. It is a 15-hour or 15-part series. What I am going to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify is what we are talking about today. Among all of the symbols of early Christianity that represents the Christos, the Christ and the central figure or object of faith and worship, we must understand where the foundation of the cross of the Vatican came from. We must understand the true esoteric, because Yahushua was a metaphysician, contrary to popular belief. We must understand how words and frequencies program or reprogram our memes or our DNA. We must understand how physics has finally proven that music, especially classical music, inhabits a separate realm that is inaccessible to human beings. We must understand that the atomic entities of the thermonuclear fusion, which you are, that is why you are a nucleus or a new clay. This new clay is what Yahushua introduced to mankind. So we must understand the true path to eternal life. It is not what you've been taught. We've been taught fairy tales, although they are great and they're good. Don't get me wrong. But we must understand the ecumenical council by which these fairy tales that we all have came from. Without the over, under, and understanding of the foundation, we don't get to have eternal life. Jesus came that you may have life, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Now, that's a cookie blower, because there's certain things that's preventing you from having life in this world. So if he came that you may have life. Now, remember, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Yahushua came that you may have life and that you may have it full, or that you may have it more abundantly. I like the word says, this is John 10:10 that I'm reading, but John 10:9 says that I am the door. If any enters through me, notice how we enter. We enter through him, not through Rome, not through the bishops, not through the cardinals, not through the different ecumenical councils. We enter through the door. If any man enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life. He lays down his life for the sheep. And so it is this understanding, my brothers and sisters, that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So we start with Constantinus Pandagatus. Constantinus Pandagatus. Now, this individual is an individual in history who is named as Constantine Byzantine, or Emperor Constantine the Fourth. So Constantine, again, he was the successor of Constantius, who was the emperor back in 641 A.D. And when we go back through history, the only reason that we must understand who this character or this individual is because of the ecumenical councils that took place. These ecumenical councils rewrote eternity. Or they rewrote the access by which one obtains eternity, the ecumenical council. And if we don't understand these ecumenical councils, we don't understand what science and physics have already proven, that classical music inhabits a different realm that is not accessible by human beings. Your DNA, again, is manipulated by sound. Scientists, again, through CERN. Now, the organization is called the European Organization for Nuclear Research. The European Organization for Nuclear Research that's associated with CERN. They have studied this, and they have removed from the what is called the fourth dimensional space-time continuum. And based upon this scientific study, that they have found that there is a fifth dimensional. There's activity in the fifth dimension that was detected by this large hydrogen supercollider. and music inhabits this dimension, scientifically proven. Now, the reason why I mention that, my brothers and my sisters, is because, again, music affects you and me. And so this pope, who wasn't, let me rephrase that, he wasn't a pope, but he presided over the six, that was a total of seven ecumenical councils. Now, let's look at the word ecumenical. Now, when we look at ecumenical, the word ecumenical and the ecumenical council is a conference of dignitaries and theologians who are experts. They come together to establish and to settle matters of the church and to establish church doctrine and church practices. These, again, theologians and dignitaries establish church doctrine. And, again, this doctrine is supposed to govern the whole church. So the word ecumenical is derived from a Greek word that means the inhabited world. So the ecumenical councils that took place, it was supposed to affect the inhabited world. But the inhabited world really just means the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire laid down ecumenical doctrines that established the doctrines of the entire world, not just the Roman Empire. So these bishops belong or became known as what is called the Church of the East. And so they participated and they established, again, the first of seven ecumenical councils. Now, these seven ecumenical councils are recognized by both the Eastern and the Western branches of what became known as Christianity. And these doctrines that these seven ecumenical councils established is what we have today. So according to historical Christianity, the seven ecumenical councils, from the first Council of Nicaea that took place in 325 A.D. to the second Council of Nicaea that took place in 787, they reestablished the Orthodox Christendom or Christianity. One of the most profound things that came forth out of the six, we're looking at the six, there was a total of seven of them. I'm not going to go through all seven. But Jesus Christ came, according to John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So the corporate purpose is eternal life. So how do we get eternal life? We've been taught through salvation. That's it. But Constantine, during the sixth, he established or reestablished something by condemning what is called Philemaism. So Philema means will. And so this was established. So Philemaism means one will. And so this guy comes along and he basically reestablishes peace by condemning and doing away with one will. Now, I hope you're listening. So he says that, okay, there's more than one will. Philemaism is what this ecumenical council, the sixth one out of the seven. Now remember, ecumenical comes from the Greek, a Greek word which means the inhabited world. So that means everything that took place that they decided, who is they? These theological experts. Back then, now remember, back during this time, there wasn't a necessarily popes and priests as we know them today. So at the time of this history, there were only bishops. There was no popes or there was no cardinals. These bishops, now remember, according to Matthew 23, Jesus says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees. These were these guys. So Jesus Christ didn't like these guys because these guys established church history that was different from what Yahushua came to establish. Why? Because when we look at the question that should be burning in your brain is that at this time during this history, these bishops, they all got together and they started these councils. These councils were assembled for what? The only reason that these councils, seven ecumenical councils, took place was because mankind, humanity, began the process of understanding and it started to change. and they were starting to remove the veil that hides the truth. All of this stuff is written in all of the tombs in ancient Egypt and all of Greece, Rome. All of this is established. So that was the worship of what is called the Lamb. Way back before, we talk about before Christianity, that was the worship of the Lamb. This is really important. This is the third hurdle you got to get over. Now, we've already established two hurdles. Number one, we talked about the other day, and we talked about the second hurdle. Now we're talking about the third hurdle. The most important hurdle, we're talking about the great falling away. That means that you have to deny yourself. That means you got to get rid of your belief system. You got to realize that all religions are man-made. First hurdle, you got to get over your religion. Second hurdle, you got to get over your belief system. Third hurdle, you got to get over what we call the Lamb. What does that mean? So back in those days, there was a worship of the Lamb, and it was necessary for, according to these bishops, they want to change this symbol. They want to change the symbol from a lamb because they said that people, the peasants, now remember, back in those days, there was kings and peasants. There was priests and peasants. There was no middleman. So the priests controlled the peasants. How? By giving them false doctrine. And so the peasants were starting to advance in understanding. So they no longer worshiped. So man no longer worshiped animals. In this case, it was the lamb. So after much debate during these seven councils, they adopted a religious symbol. And it was from the body of Prometheus, who died on a cross instead of a rock. Now, remember the story of Prometheus I talked about yesterday. Now, Prometheus died on a rock. He didn't die on a cross. But they changed how Prometheus died. And they said that Prometheus, now we want to show him dying on a cross instead of a rock. Because they had an underlying motive. So the body represented, or a body being shown dying on a cross, was that of Prometheus back in the sixth council that was established by Constantinus Pogonatus. Pogonatus. And he wanted to establish this because he had an underlying reason. So Constantinus Bacchanalus, or Bacchanalus, according to Smith's Dictionary of Greek and Roman History, according to the Strong's Encyclopedia of Ecclesia Literature. Let me read from the Strong's Encyclopedia. It says, among the many symbols of early Christians which represented Christ as the central object of their faith, the lamb was the most important. In the beginning of the 6th century, the lamb bears a triumphant cross, or the lamb was shown on a cross. Then the lamb is dying on the altar at the feet of the cross. So we have two symbols, the lamb victorious, and then the lamb dying at the feet of the cross. Later, the lamb appears with blood flowing from an inflicted wound on its side. And then finally, by the end of the 6th century, the lamb is painted on the center of the cross, where the body of Christ was later replaced. Now again, Strong's Encyclopedia says how the symbols of Christianity went from a cross and a lamb. The lamb went to be first. It was a cross and a lamb. Then the lamb was on the cross. And then the lamb was shown dead on the cross. Then the lamb was shown dead at the feet of the cross. Then the lamb was shown on the cross with blood flowing from him. And then finally, at the end of the 6th century, the lamb was painted at the center of the cross where the body of cross is. This was called the cross of the Vatican, on which the lamb appeared. And so when we look at the cross of the Vatican with the Lamb, the Savior is holding a book in his left hand, and he's given a benediction in Latin. in his right hand. Now, this is all historical stuff. I won't spend too much time on this. I'm laying this for the foundation because you got to get over this. You got to get over, and then again, we got 10 more to go. This is just number three. Number one thing you got to get over, religion. I don't care what you got. I don't care what religion you got, man-made. Number two, your belief system. I don't care how great it is. I don't care what you think. I don't care how much research you've done. Get rid of it. Now, I know that's contrary to your popular belief. Now, I did this back in 2009. I went to the Father. I said, Father, I want to start with a blank slate. Now, did I get rid of, did I say I didn't believe in Jesus? Did I say no? I didn't say that. All I'm saying is I put everything that I believe on the shelf, and I say, Father, teach me the truth, not versions of it. I did that January 1st of 2009. From that day to this day, my cookies have been blown. Everything that I was taught is a lie. And that's the truth I've been trying to share with people ever since then, but I'm having a hard time doing it. I'm even having a hard time believing it. And so during this time, I'm looking at and I'm reading this, and I'm going through this, and it talks about the cross of the Vatican. So the Savior holds a scroll in his right hand, and then he has a little cross in his left hand. This was all instituted at the Sixth Ecumenical Council. It issued a proclamation that from henceforth, the Christ should be represented in his proper human body rather than the symbol of what is called the Passover lamb. Now, Jews, they all know this stuff, but most believers don't. So from the 6th century or from the 6th Ecumenical Council on, that's when we started, or that's when Christians started having the symbol of Jesus Christ on the cross, crucified. And the following century, crucifixions came into prominence during and throughout all Christendom. No executions on a cross took place prior to the cross of the Vatican. It was an edict, just like the papal bull. Do you know most modern-day events are preordained or issued or approved by the Pope? Just go to Google, type in papal bulls, read it. It'll blow your cookies, but just check it out. So the cross of the Vatican that is being carried around by His Holiness, Pope Francis. So now remember, this is all Roman doctrine. It has nothing to do with Christian doctrine. Now, we can go through a lot of stuff. I can talk about what is called the radiant culminations of God's protective love. Now, on March the 19th of 2013, Pope Francis, who had just been elected a few days before, preached on St. Joseph, the protector of Mary and Jesus. Pope Francis says that he presented what is called the Way of the Cross, March the 19th of 2013. The Way of the Cross, he said, will make constant reference to being protected or being the protector of God's love, particularly Jesus crucified. Then he says that we want to take part in this Way of the Cross, which makes us or puts us in a profound union with Jesus. And Pope Francis, again, I can go through the whole thing. You can, you know, Google it or you can email me if you want more information about it. The only reason why I mentioned it is the connection between Roman Catholicism and Christianity. And so the cross of the Vatican is what we got. Crucifixions came into existence greatly throughout all of Christendom after the Passover lamb was removed and Christ was placed on the cross. Now, the decision had been prepared way in advance for people for Christians to start being executed by crucifixion. Now, this mode of execution was later you know, done away with or abolished by one of the other Constantines that came on later. But the institution of it and the way that it came about. Now, remember, the Christian symbol prior to 680 A.D., this is important, was that of a lamb nailed to the cross. Let me say that again. The Christian symbol prior to 680 A.D. was a lamb nailed to a cross. At the Sixth Ecumenical Council held in Constantinople, it was ordained by our good friend, whom we're talking about, again, Constantinus Pongdantinus, how do you say his name? He decided, along with all of the other, you know, bishops that were there during the Sixth Council, that the figure of a man should be betrayed on the cross, which bears the same image of the lamb. There was no sign with the letters I-N-R-I that we see nailed above Jesus, the sign I-N-R-I, which means Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. No such animal was in the original prior to 680 A.D., prior to the 6th century, prior to the ecumenical call. What am I saying? I am saying that your doctrine that you got came from the Romans during all of the seven ecumenical councils. Don't believe me? Look them up. Read all of the seven ecumenical councils and what took place in each one. And then read your church doctrine. These ecumenical councils establish your traditions. That's why you got to get rid of them. Religion, man-made. Your belief system, I don't care how great it is, how close it is to the truth, you got to get rid of it. Very, 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 very important. Because the falling now, because there has to be a great falling away. The falling away has nothing to do with people leaving the church. The falling away has to do with your brain leaving your ego, your spirit leaving your flesh. That's the great falling away. The Bible says that the second coming of Christ will not happen until there's a great coming, a great falling away. What is that falling away? You leaving yourself. It got nothing to do with nobody leaving the church. So at the decree of the council of 680 A.D., the representation and the worship of the Lamb on the cross was prohibited. Let me say that again. You would be put to death if you had a symbol of a cross after 680 A.D., Notice how the Romans instituted change. They made laws. You didn't abide by them. What was the Dark Ages? What was everything? I mean, I don't know if you guys understand. It was death. You abide by these laws that these knuckleheads decided, or they got all your books, they put you on the stake, and they burned. They used your books to set your happy-go-lucky behind on fire. So the lamb was removed, and a man was substituted in his place. So brothers and sisters, we must know at what period the story of the so-called crucifixion of Christ was formulated. Now, am I saying it didn't happen? Absolutely not. What I'm telling you now is church history. The decree of the Sixth Council prohibited the worship of the lamb as a Christian symbol, and it was translated from that into the image of a man on a cross. Now, let me quote again from the encyclopedia, Strong's Encyclopedia. In certain representations of the images of the saints, a lamb is portrayed. We, therefore, accepting the old forms and shadows as signs of the truth and as traditional symbols of the church, prefer grace and truth, which we accept as the fulfillment of the law. So that which is perfect, let us place in pictures, even before the eyes of all. We have decreed that the Lamb, which takes away the sins of the world, Christ our God, ought to be betrayed henceforth in human form, in place of the Lamb. Now the above, what I just read, is an excerpt, again, from what is called Romo Satyria, concerning the image of Christ. It's a Latin phrase that has to do with the images that represents the Christ So the reason why the lamb was worshipped long before Lemuria, before Atlantis, before, you know, the Samaritan text, the Passover, or what is called the Paschal Lamb, or the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, these are symbols of the astrological sign of Aries, the Lamb. This is called astrotheology. Now, I've studied at length astrotheology. I used to believe in astrotheology. I don't believe in astrotheology. But what I do believe, I believe exactly what the Bible says, that he said that the seasons and the suns and the planets were given as a sign. So when I look to the sun, the moons and the stars and astronomy and astrology, it's a sign. It tells me it's a symbol. It represents something else. So astrological sign of Aries represents what? Aries governs the pineal gland. The pineal gland is considered the seat of the soul. It is considered the throne of God in a mortal man. Let me say it again. The pineal gland is considered the seat of the soul. Now, once we understand that, that is why lamb was replaced by man. And so now it represents, instead of the lamb being crucified, a man was crucified. So what this means, instead of the focus being on you crucifying the pineal gland, now we're crucifying the flesh or the man. Now, to the average person, that doesn't mean very much, but I'm going to break it down for you to explain how your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and what that means. And I'm going to break down for you how the first sin, the original sin, every man has to remove from himself the thing that separates him from God. Now remember, the overall title of the second series is How to Connect with God with Your Corporate Purpose. We've already done the series with how to connect or reconnect with God spiritually and consciously with your private purpose, your dear Kenita. Now we want to talk about how to connect with God with your corporate purpose. What is your corporate purpose? Corporate purpose is eternal life. Everybody on earth should be going toward eternity. But what are we doing? Now, the way we get to eternity is what this next series is all about. Because the way that we've been taught on how to get to eternity by an altar call that was given to us by Charles Finney. Don't believe it? Look it up. Go to Google and type in, did Jesus do an altar call? Is an altar call anywhere in the Bible? Anywhere. I've been doing this. I've been asking for this for years. Can nobody show me no scriptures where Jesus could stood up and say, I want everybody to come down, or any of the disciples, or anybody, Charles Finney, and then during the Great Awakening, start doing an altar call because he wanted to see how many converts he was doing. Now remember, the word convert means proselytize. A proselyte. Remember the word in the Bible says that anybody who becomes a proselyte is tenfold more candidate of hell than he was before he was converted. The Bible says that. So if you are converted, you are tenfold more candidate of hell than you were before your conversion. Why? Jesus said that the key of knowledge that gives you your conversion has been removed. That's why I have the book, The Key of Knowledge. So unless you put back in the key and then be converted, your conversion is like mine. It's a counterfeit conversion because we had a counterfeit Christianity. Go to the website, please, masterteacher33.com. Click on the link that says donation. Make that $100 donation. We're going to, once and for all, get rid of all the lies. I'm going to try to do it in a, you know, again, 15-hour series. I will definitely do a show this afternoon, because there's no way I can get through the introduction at my current pace before Saturday. So this afternoon, we are going to break down now again the third obstacle that you got to get over before you can take the series. We already talked about man-made religion. We already talked about your belief system. Number three is you have to understand what I call biblical history. If you don't understand biblical history, then you're going to continue to believe the Constantine's Messiah. You're going to continue to believe in what everybody else believes in. You can only, the Sin can only be removed when the enmity that is between the two seeds is abolished, because between every carbon atom there is enmity. So every person on the planet, again, is a microcosm of the macrocosm. So unless we understand basic physics, there is an obstacle to divine perfection. Jesus came and did away with that obstacle. But why are we still dying? If Jesus said, I've come, and he says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Where is your victory? So what is the ultimate cause of not only physical, but spiritual death? According to science, it's called a telomere. Now, I've been to show already. Scientists are working like mad dogs right now. Right now as we speak, there are some scientists in the laboratory somewhere trying to figure out how to get rid of the telomeres. So that way, mankind can live forever. They're trying. That's called trying to enter into the sheepfold, the back to the back door. So these telomeres, according to scientists, they are the bottle caps on the end of your DNA that has a pre-programmed chromatide at the end of the chromosomes that deteriorates the fusion inside of the chromosomes. So inside of the nucleus of a cell, there's that word again, nuclei. So inside of the cell is nuclei, but it's being destroyed. So your cell is pre-programmed to die. What if we remove the program? If we remove the program, cell doesn't die. That's what the scientists are trying to figure it out. But Jesus already figured it out. Jesus left us a way for us to reprogram the telomeres inside of our DNA. That's what I'm going to be breaking down for you. Now, the average Joe, they're like, man, that's a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Jesus Christ and him crucified. No problem, brother. Knock yourself out. But there is a reason why the human body ages. Why do you age if everything in your body renews itself? I think the oldest thing is 7 years. That's that either your bones. Everything in the body renews itself. So the oldest person on the planet should be 7, physically. That's it. After 7 years, everything is new. But it renews at the predisposed age. So if you are healthy, when the body renews itself, it renews itself at that state. But since you are in a disease state, the body renews itself in a disease state. All this is inside my book, Theosophic Nutrition. I broke this down 20 years ago, but I didn't even believe it. That's why I still eat the crap that I eat. But now, after 20 years, wrinkles are starting to show up, bones are hurting. I'm realizing that, hey, you know what, maybe I ought to go back, because now science is saying telomeres are the key to aging and cancer. So if scientists, according to the University of Utah, during their genetic studies, they said that if they, again, can understand that the telomeres control not only aging, but also cancer cells. And so if they can understand, because telomeres represent, again, I'm going to break this down from a nuclear, telomeres are made of the repeating sequence of T, A, and G on one strand of the DNA. But telomeres do something to the DNA, the same way sound does. That is why music inhabits the fifth dimension. Telomeres change the DNA to inhabit the fifth dimension. At the last sound, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall arise. Fifth dimension. Music inhabits them. Now, again, I got the article. Somebody posted it on Facebook. I was reading it. Again, you can go to www.submedient.com. Physics proves music inhabits a separate realm. So since you are a musical being, at the last sound, at the last trump, you go to the fifth dimension. Now, music is already there waiting on you. And since Jesus, since God, he's a celestial. Now, again, God ain't what we think. God is a musical being. Where do you think he at? So when you go to heaven, where do you think you go? According to science, you go to the fifth dimension. Now, whether you believe that or not, hey, we will soon find out. The whole point is, how do you prepare yourself to get to the fifth dimension? Do you just do an altar call? No. There's things that must be done. And Jesus Christ said, the things I have done, you shall do an even greater thing. Jesus Christ himself said, pick up your cross. First, you deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. So again, what is the ultimate cause of death? What is it? Each person needs to understand this, to basically be reconnected to God, consciously and spiritually. If you do not, you stay in the fourth dimension. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ himself says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The atomic energy of the universe is always constant and in existence. We have to understand, because it is omniscient, it is omnipotent, and it is omnipresent. The same three attributes of the God that I serve. My brothers and my sisters, this is Dr. Will Rogers. Again, we're going to pop off again this afternoon at 7 p.m. We're going to go through these little 10 obstacles so we can get ready to get everything started. Saturday, 7 p.m., we start with part one of the new series. Again, how to spiritually and consciously connect with your God-ordained corporate purpose, which is eternal life. Metaphysically, we're going to break down the metaphysics of eternal life. So my brothers and my sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. Remember, please, go to the website today. Click on the link that says donation. Make that $100 donation. That way we can get you signed up for this next series. This next series is going to be a bomb burner. My brothers and my sisters, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his tongue bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, the same pyramid scheme like the police, yeah, I'm still on the